happy to know that she said she has a hole in the side of her foot that's green at the bottom. Just so you know.
It was. I'm so glad no one's listening today.
Yeah, so thanks
it's
to the internet.
It's fine now.
Live
forever. I'm saying I had a rough weekend.
Did you do that thing where you held a needle over a flame to clean it? Oh, no, because you had the peroxide and the bubbling in the hissing.
Sounds like something out of the 1970s.
No, I did have a needle.
Did the other kids tell you to be cool?
It was totally painful. I felt like, you know, you start to get paranoid. And my entire leg was starting to hurt, and I thought that
gangrene.
It would have to be amputated.
Totally.
Yeah.
The next thing you know, there's some guy with a bone saw. I need you to bite down on this rag. All right. It's like you're on the Civil War battlefield and suddenly you're a morphine addict in a home somewhere.
It's a little beef jerky.
All right. Ira, do you remember when you were a kid and you get a splinter and your mom would, I'll get rid of that splinter, and she would have like the biggest needle you'd ever seen in your entire life. Did your mom do that? Did she take out your splinter with needles?
No, tweezers.
See, and we didn't, there were no tweezers in my family. My mom would just, she would literally get like the sewing needle. Not a pin, but the needle, the kind that had an eye on it. And she would hold still, and it's and you would think that your mom, being a nurse, that she would be, you know, sensitive and the Florence Nightingale and very nurturing. And it's really the opposite. It's that when your mom is a nurse, it's like she just sees so much actual real pain and suffering that she just, things like that don't even register to her as painful. Things that, it's like, you know, when you've worked in a burn unit or, you know, you've seen like head trauma or something, suddenly jabbing your kid with a 5-inch needle doesn't seem all that bad. And so there's like a 4-year-old like going, I got a splinter in my finger. Hold on. And then she'd just go and she'd get that weird tomato thing filled with sand that all the needles were stuck in. And she would just pull a huge needle out, just slowly walk towards you like Louise Fletcher. Just sort of a Mr. McMurphy, hold still. It's the worst. All right, it's 503-733-2970. It is Labor Day. We are here. We are live. If you're at work, we want to hear from you either phone or email today. Coming up at the bottom of the hour, Jim Roop. Later on, Stormwatch. Ladies and gentlemen, let's go to the city desk with Tim.
It's time for the Rick Emerson Noon News Hour from AM 970 Solid State Radio. And now, from the Ministry of Truth, this is Tim Riley.
Hello, comrades. We are live on this holiday. Repeating this tragedy over and over again. Steve Irwin is dead, doing what he loved best, getting too close to dangerous animals. This time it didn't work out in his favor. The 44-year-old heart was pierced by a poisonous spine of a stingray.
Heart pierced by... That's a bad way to go. I don't care who you are, crocodile hunter or no. That's a bad way to end your life.
It's almost like this is premeditated by this beast. Apparently, he swam too close to it, and he got angry, and that was that.
I don't think... I love the way that we can boil everything down to its essence here. That really is it.
This is news that's to the point.
No.
That didn't work for somebody else, but for us, it could be different.
Wait, what was to the point?
Coin.
Our neighbors in the basement.
I thought coin was the bringing
it
home.
They change everything.
They changed it to that. It used to be news that's to the point.
Oh, and then that worked out poorly. Are they still bringing it home? Is that what coin does?
I don't know.
They're shoving noodles into her mouth and expunging the memory of coin from her brain. Pretty soon, they're just going to be delivering the news door to door.
Oh,
pretty soon, coin will... Hello, sir? I'm
totally
from coin. Can
to
I tell
the
you...
new traffic girl. I forgot.
Today?
Today?
I don't know. I should probably call her back.
Well, they've gone 3 months without traffic. Another day won't kill them.
Seriously, have they been doing traffic since you left?
No, I just got a random phone call from someone like, so, Sarah, we'll see you in at 4 a.m. to train the new girl. And this was at 5 o'clock on a Thursday. I'm like, no.
So when did you leave coin? When was your last month there? It's now September. You left in July.
Before I went to New York. No, June.
June. So what have they been doing for traffic?
They've been having someone call, they've been having Jenny rap.
You got to see the video for that, for the rapping traffic girl. It's fantastic.
They've been having this, I think it's Todd Dorsey, call in and do it.
He just does it over the phone?
Mm-hmm.
That's good enough.
Well, there's some traffic. Well, that's retarded. Why? I mean, he's not even showing the traffic
camera?
Well,
people really don't need traffic. I mean, what would they be? If they're watching it on TV, they're not driving. Isn't that correct?
That's a good point, now that I think about it. I mean, I guess if you're at your home, what do you care?
What difference does it make if you're watching it on TV? You're not out driving.
And if you are driving, probably the radio is the best place to get it.
Yeah.
Well, that's just goddamn stupid now that I think about it. Quit watching traffic on television. Quit watching it now.
And then they just show pictures of traffic.
No, that's
which isn't helpful at all. They're just cars, one after another.
That's the other thing is like when you know if see we couldn't say anything like this while you were doing the traffic on Coin, but look, it was just stupid. Not that you did a bad
job.
Commercials
on.
Yeah, not that you were doing a bad job, but. It wasn't, it was just like, this isn't you so much as it is whoever was running the ODOT cameras. It's like there was never really anything. How interesting can it be to show cars not moving?
Especially at 5 a.m. when there aren't any cars. I'm like, why am I up?
Oh, just like two or three headlights going down the dark.
And just some rain and a camera. The only thing that was interesting was when a fly would perch on the lens of the camera and it looked like there was a 50-foot fly on the city.
That was fun. When they tried to get the Hooters sign out of the background.
Really?
Oh, yeah, the Marine Drive camera. Totally has the Hooters sign.
Yeah, and were they just not fitting with the bringing it home to the Northwest point, where whatever it is? Yeah. I mean, you really ought to just, you might as well just show a car parked in somebody's driveway. That's all it is. It's just pictures of cars that aren't moving. And just you sitting there looking sort of,
that's what they do on
sort of tired and bitter.
Because Tony will sit there in the helicopter for like 3 hours just sitting there on the, you know, whatever it is, landing.
I'm up at the helicopter for no readily apparent reason.
Mm. I mean, you can just get a box of donuts and sit there and eat them. He doesn't have to share with anybody. That's a pretty good deal.
I don't even know what we're talking about now.
The guy on Good Morning Oregon, who's supposedly in a helicopter, but the helicopter never leaves the ground. No one has discovered that this isn't happening. It's been going up for years. It's still the number one show. Watch a guy sitting in a helicopter that doesn't fly.
It's like one of those movies from the 50s with Fred McMurray, where he's just sitting in the car and there's just some grips rocking it back and forth while the camera points at it. Fantastic. Good times. I wonder how much that helicopter costs. Think of how many people they could actually hire for whatever the helicopter cost them. All right.
Well, it could be just a drawing of a helicopter on a set, like the moon landing. He might not even be at an airport.
There's just a guy behind him holding a big mock-up of the city and sort of jiggling it back and forth. And I'm up in the helicopter above Portland and, all right. There you go. I remember how excited you were to get that job, by the way.
I was.
See that spark slowly crushed out of your eyes with every passing day.
Well, you know, what sucks is that when someone tells you that your job is going to be something and then that person gets fired a week after you get hired.
Oh.
And then all their plans go away.
Yeah.
And you're just stuck being the lowly traffic girl.
Man, that's happened to me more times than I can. And probably to Tim, too.
Where I've been a lonely traffic girl on many occasions.
Okay. Well, anywho, we'll come back and talk about this more later. Ladies and gentlemen, here's Tim Riley.
So, getting back to Steve Irwin's death. Let's see.
I wish I had some sound.
He'll always be remembered by his catchphrase, Cricky, repeated when there was a close call.
Cricky, Cricky, Wacky, Snicky. All right. And everybody out there. See, and we're way ahead of this. All the hack DJs won't be able to make cranky jokes until tomorrow. And there you go. He's dead.
Meanwhile, Janet Jackson is throwing her weight behind getting Hillary Clinton elected to the White House.
There's a joke there somewhere.
Nobody else is working to make it. You might as well.
No, something there about Janet Jackson's weight. What does Janet Jackson look like now? Is this thin Janet or fat Janet? Really? She's back to being thin?
Super thin.
There was a while where you couldn't tell.
And she wears that rubber Janet Jackson mask. That'll melt if you sit in the sun for too long.
There was a while, though, when you couldn't tell if she was thin Janet or fat Janet because she would leave the house wearing a lot of sweatpants and, multiple layers.
She lost, 60 pounds in about 2 months.
Really?
Yeah.
You can't do that.
I know.
Did you ever watch Action?
Yeah.
Did you give it back to me? I don't think you did.
I might not have.
Is that a Nate's house?
No, I have it.
Okay. Because I might want to start. What's that? No.
I'm lost in this conversation.
No. I lent Sarah a copy of the Jay Moore series, actually, which you ought to watch.
Oh.
You have a very cynical, jaded view of Hollywood. And this is, imagine like a really, really dark, cynical version of Entourage. Mm-hmm. It's a really great show, though. And you can tell it was great because it got canceled after only one season. It's a fantastic series, and I lent it to Sarah on DVD because she was a big fan of Entourage. And I'm like, oh, you're going to watch this. It's fantastic. But it occurs to me now that I'm trying to figure out what I may have lent you and which of those things might be at your house and which of them might be at Nate's. Because I may want to just start collecting anything that I lent you that's sitting at Nate's house.
I have all of your stuff.
Okay. But there's that. But did you watch all the way through?
Yeah, that show was ridiculous.
It was really black and just dark.
It's really dark. It was almost a little too dark for me.
But there was that great, which I got to bring in the soundbite from that Asian doctor who will, like, he does one day liposuction.
Oh, when they hire the girl who was really cute, or so they thought, and then she's like 50 pounds more.
And he's, and it's like some doctor that can get out 100 pounds of fat in one day. It costs you like $40,000, and it's incredibly, no, it hurt. It hurt like hell. You want to be thin, though, don't you? You 100,000, all fat gone one day. It's just fantastic. But I wondered if that's what Janet Jackson did, because she lost like a lot of weight really fast. Mm-hmm. But there was that whole era, that whole time when dudes, like, she would leave the house and she had multiple layers of fat hiding clothing on, and you were like, is something going on? Is it like the Statue of Liberty when she was wrapped in,
like, huge sweatshirts?
Totally. Well, do you remember? You're probably too young to remember this, but when the Statue of Liberty was being worked on, and there was this period of like 3 years where you couldn't see the Statue of Liberty because it was wrapped in this sort of scaffolding. It was ringed with this sort of, I don't know, it was, imagine if they had lowered a gigantic toilet paper tube over the Statue of Liberty.
Huh.
It was just this huge metallic tube that wrapped on, you couldn't see anything but the top of the head and the torch. That was it. And they were doing all the work underneath there, and then they had a whole ceremony in 86 when they, like, dropped the curtain, and they revealed the Statue of Liberty newly polished and buffed and whatever. And I think that's what was happening with Janet Jackson. There was some work going on underneath, and she just didn't want anybody to see it for a while. Anyway, so she's throwing her weight where?
Behind the election of Hillary Clinton for president.
Hillary Clinton, who we hear may not be running for president. She may actually be running for the Senate now. It's all very exciting.
Meanwhile, Senator Rick Santorum is not taking a holiday off. The distinguished Republican senator from Pennsylvania says he supports Defense Secretary Donald Rumsfeld's handling of Iraq.
Hate never sleeps.
I think Secretary Rumsfeld has done a fine job as the Defense Secretary. And the problems that we are confronting are problems of an enemy. That's a very potent enemy, much more potent than I think anybody ever anticipated.
Islamo-Nazis or whatever the new term is?
Islamo-guy. You don't really think about Rick Santorum and the word potent in the same sentence together.
No, you don't. He says he does disagree with Dick Cheney, though.
I disagree with him on sanctions. I'm not going to denounce him because I have a disagreement. I don't denounce people because I disagree with them. I think I've been very clear. In fact, I stood up on the floor of the United States Senate when I debated this, and Joe Biden opposed me, and he waved a letter from Condoleezza Rice in opposition to me.
Let me just tell you this right now. And you know that I'm all man, but really, given the opportunity, I really would just like to hold him down and see Andy Dick lick the side of his face. Really, I think that would be... We should make up a whole list of people whom we'd like to see licked by Andy Dick. And I think Rick Santorum would be right at the top of the list. Also, Jesse Helms. Let's see. Todd, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
All hail the beautiful Sarah. How are you, sir?
Hello. Okay. Okay, yes, I'm fine. Sarah's over there. She is hailed. Hello.
Hello.
Well, I just wanted to let you know that at least some of your government is out waving away today. So,
Who do you work for, sir?
The Department of Transportation.
And so
it's free parking today, isn't it?
McRib is back. Well, I hope so.
I hope so. Yeah, I didn't pay.
I've been parked up for like 4 hours. What do you do for the Department of Transportation, sir?
Incident response.
I'm sorry?
Incident response.
And what does that mean? Does that mean when you're when there's an accident, you call the cops?
Well, we basically deal with whatever messes up the highway, whether it be crashes, people broke down.
Ah, I see. So now are you...
Breaking things.
Are you in any way associated with those traffic cameras that Sarah used to point to when she was doing the news?
Well, yeah, they're part of the fire department.
You're obviously very proud of the association. So what is it you guys are doing today? I mean, there's no traffic to speak of today, is there?
Well, there really is, especially when everybody decides to start going home from wherever they were the weekend.
Now, in your estimation, when is that going to happen? When are the roads going to turn ugly today?
Well, it depends on which road you're talking about. Highway 18 will probably get really unbearable in about 2 hours to 3 hours.
Fantastic.
Yeah, well, you know, what do you do?
That highway is a death trap anyway.
It's true. If you had to list, sir, the top three roads that you would classify as death traps, what would they be?
Considering you don't have any foreseeable job openings, I'll go ahead and say no comment.
Okay. Well, all right. Another time then. All right, sir. Well, thank you for listening, and spread the word, sir.
Will do.
All right. There you go. That's Todd working for the man today. All right. Here's Tim Riley.
Okay. So we have all these happy holiday stories. A speedboat crashed into an exposed post across from Kelly Point Park last night, injuring 9 people. This was a 21-foot aluminum jet boat. It was traveling 25 to 30 miles an hour when it hit a piling that was clearly visible in the Willamette River. 9 people ranging in age from 9 to 56 were on board, all taken to the hospital. Injuries include cracked ribs, bleeding from the head and broken legs.
Okay.
All were conscious. The pilot was exposed due to low water conditions, so nobody can figure out how a boat hit it.
So they have no excuses. All right, there is some joke there about the hitting a post, but I'm gonna skip it for the moment. This is Ron. Ron, the Multnomah, I suppose I can read this. The sheriff's office is working today. Ron from the Multnomah County Sheriff's Office checking in. All right.
Oh, those are the guys in the green suits.
Is that who they are?
Yeah, they look like forest rangers.
Are they the ones, do they drive the dark green cars?
Oh, they might. I've never seen them drive. I see them walking around.
I don't know exactly who it is that drives the... Do you ever wonder about this inside the police department? Do you ever wonder about the pecking order of who ends up on what kind of vehicle? Because there's some guys, like there's some cops who drive the car, mm-hmm. and then there's cops that are on motorcycle. Then there are cops on horseback, which are the downtown occasion. Not a whole lot.
I like that job.
Yeah, there's some cops that, and it always seems to be down by Darcelle's. I don't know what that's all about, but it's always in Old Town. You'll see a cop on a horse. Then there's the bike cops. And you always wonder if, does somebody want to be a bike cop, or is that like when you, is it you being punished for something, if that's your gig? I never know.
I think the Max cops are the ones that are being punished.
are those real cops on the Max?
From what I've seen, they're Beaverton cops.
and so there's like a strike against them already.
Right. And there are like two sets of rules. If you don't have a ticket and have an ID, then you get a ticket. However, if you are someone who has no ID whatsoever, cannot explain what you're doing there or where you came from, they let you go.
Well, no, see, I've
seen it on numerous occasions. They questioned this guy. They stopped him and asked, "You have no ID." He goes, "No." And, "Well, where did you come from before here?" "Oh, I came from Florida." And this is during this terrorist thing.
I've been around.
Yeah, I've been around. And, "Oh, and what do you do for a living?" "I do this and that."
Things.
So the next stop, the cop just gets off. In the meantime, people with identification are being written up.
So
this during this, you know, big terrorist scare, because the KGW cameras park in Pioneer Courthouse Square every time there's one of these terrorist things. So, you know, they're looking under the seats for Vaseline or whatever the last big thing was. And of course, they don't find anything. But because the cameras are there, all of a sudden it's a big deal.
I've talked about this before, actually, that when I go, look, it's not like I'm trying to give advice to would-be lawbreakers and hooligans. But when I take the Max, mm-hmm. it occurs to me, like, there have been, now again, there are things I've done things I'm not proud of. There were a couple times in the past when I needed to get somewhere on the Max, mm-hmm. I was downtown,
yes.
I had no money for a ticket. And so
there's a big free zone, too.
I'm just, there's Fairless Square. Mm-hmm. But there was one, I believe I was heading to Tom Petty at the Rose Garden. Mm-hmm. And I was downtown, I had to get to Tom Petty, and that's, of course, outside Fairless Square. And, of course, the Max will take you right from here to the Rose Garden. And so, but I had no money. I didn't have whatever. And I think you can buy it with plastic, but it's like the machine wasn't there.
It never works. It never works when you really need it and don't have any money on you.
It's like when you go to the parking, the meter, and that's exactly when you need it. And, of course, theoretically, you can't get a ticket. If the machine is broken, they're not allowed to ticket you. But, of course, you know that there's no way to prove the machine was broken. And so you know that you're going to get, and then it's like you have to go to court and fight it. And there's no point. So I had to take the Max from downtown to the Rose Garden. I have no money for a ticket.
I think it's free to get from here to the Rose Garden.
Maybe it was.
I believe it is.
But my whole thing was this. And again, I'm not saying you should do this, but my thing literally was to take my driver's license out and put it in my shoe. I took so I could claim I had no ID.
Uh-huh.
So I took my driver's license out, I put it in the bottom of my shoe, and then I rode the Max, because exactly what you were talking about. Because I knew that if the TriMet cops, if the Max cops came on and they're like, "You know, ticket, please." And I would just say, "Oh, it was just here. I must have lost it." "And, well, you're not allowed to ride without a ticket." "Well, what can you do? I've lost it, sir." "What's your name?" "Lars Larson." You know? Yeah. And then they're going to ask for ID. I'm not going to have any. And it's all about spotting the cracks in the system. And I do believe if you're on the Max, if you have no ID, they can't prove who you are. There's no way to ticket you. And really, the only thing they can do is, like, arrest you and put you in jail, which clearly they're not going to do because it's a disproportionate use of resources. So I'm not trying to tell people how to cheat the Max, but it does seem like that's only one step above hopping the turnstile. Rick, you were talking about Wart Be Gone, says Trevis. I believe it was called Dr. Scholl's Wart Remover. No, that's the pad that you put on. There was, like, some goo that my sister used. Came in a jar. You put it on, and
Whatever. In Greece.
Yes. Yeah, thank you. Somebody sent me this. This is from Craigslist, where all good and bad things come from now. Rick, I thought you would like to see this. And, of course, where do you think somebody selling bacon grease lives? What city? Sarah?
They're in St. John's.
No, visited, but you're not. I mean, it's...
Troutdale?
Gresham. There you go. Gresham. What? A woman named Wanda, of course, is selling 1 quart bacon grease. Sadly, there's no picture of the grease. It's almost attentiongoldenpalace.com. You should be buying that. Here's Tim Riley.
Two men have been stabbed by an arrow in the Sheraton Lounge. This is down by Highway 18. Assault charges have been filed against a 37-year-old man accused of stabbing two people at a Sheraton restaurant over the weekend. Sheriff Jack Crabtree says one fellow is accused of stabbing John Weinberg and James Kinslow with an arrow. This is during an argument at the Green Frog restaurant at the lounge. Hildebrand was taken by Lifeway to OHSU, where he underwent emergency surgery. Crabtree says Martin Went has been sent to jail, $150,000 bail for stabbing people with arrows.
Fantastic. Let's see. This is a great. This is an instant response. This is from someone else. This is from a different person at the sheriff's office. The Multnomah County Sheriff's Office apparently listening in droves today, So we should all be good. Rick, yes, we wear green.
That's what
also also green cars. Here's now look. I have the utmost respect for the law enforcement personnel. All I'm saying is, the green cars, I have a whole negative association with those in my head because I think this is different. I think what I'm thinking of is the highway patrol. But there's that thing where you're speeding down the road, like if you're on the way to Washington, and there's guys in the dark green, the forest green cars. And
the ones that hide in the bushes?
Yes, and they're parked in the goddamn middle of the highway.
You can't see me. That's highway patrol.
Highway patrol, yeah, and it's like, and it's always when you're going underneath an overpass. Mm-hmm. There's an overpass, and then there's the huge cement pillar that holds up the overpass, and then there's always a bunch of shrubbery, right? And then hidden in the shrubbery is some bastard in a car. In the dark. When I say bastard, look, I'm just...
You mean it
lovingly.
No, I do. I don't necessarily mean it lovingly, but I'm just saying that's the thought that goes through your head when you're a driver.
They're a sneaky little bastard.
Siri, that's exactly... You're thinking, oh, weasel. You know, because, of course, in my... Like, someday,
be a man. Just chase me. Why do you have to hide?
That's what I'm saying. Someday when it's like an Emerson Roop administration of this country, cop cars are going to have to be fluorescent pink. And they're going to have to blink and glow in the dark and whatever. Because you're driving along and you never see it until you're already past there. And then, and I don't know whether, I'm not going to say that I'm ascribing too much intelligence to cops because I don't want to traffic in a stereotype that cops are dumb. I'm not saying that. But I'm saying, I do think in my head I make cops a little sneakier than they probably are in real life. Because I don't know if you do this. Do you do this when you drive by a speed trap or a parked cop car? You watch in your rearview mirror for like a mile.
Oh, yeah, until they're out of sight.
So, but not even that. Like, once they're out of sight, I will continue to watch for like another 10 minutes because in my head, the cop is thinking this. I'll wait till he's over the hill and thinks I'm gone. Then I'll speed up behind him and beat him by the side of the road. I'm always thinking that the cops are waiting for... When you think about it, there's no reason. Like, what motivation would a cop have to let you get away and then catch up to you later? But in my head, that's always what it is. So, yeah, those green cars, those things piss me off. Screw you guys.
Meaning Highway Patrol.
Meaning Highway Patrol, not the Multnomah County Sheriff's Office.
But the Portland ones have a rose on the side of them. How threatening could that be? if they had room on the trunk, they'd paint pictures of petunias.
To serve and decorate.
Yeah.
Our uniform, to serve and dance. Our uniforms, the Brady kids would not wear that color. And no, we are not forest rangers. And
then what I always say.
And then it's signed. And then it's signed, watching for you on the max. So there you go. Thank you, sir.
They have to be undercover, though.
No, it's true. How undercover could you be when you're decked out in roses, though, really? Anyway, here's Tim Riley.
Well, a man has been arrested for the 100th time. Officials in Warren County Sheriff's Department in Eastern New York say they found Anthony Love, who's 40 years old, and have fined him after finding $1,300 worth of merchandise stolen from outlet stores in his car. He has 99 previous arrests, including several for violent felonies. This is number 100 for him, says the sheriff. He is charged with fourth-degree criminal possession of stolen property, felony, and possession of anti-security items, which is a misdemeanor. Lowe has had a device that disables security tags, so he's been stealing.
Really?
Yeah.
That's pretty handy. I'd like to have one of those. Not because I steal things, but occasionally, depending on where you shop, you'll get like a Fred Meyer, they're always doing this to me, where I will buy
something. Every so often you need a shirt and you just don't have the money. after getting up the mask to get ready for a concert.
The line is just too long. No, occasionally I'll buy something. This happened the last time I bought a pair of shoes, where I bought this, in fact, it's the pair of shoes I'm wearing right now, these black Chuck Taylors. I bought a bunch of crap at Fred Meyer, and you know what it is, and you know what I bought these shoes with? I bought these shoes with that $25 gift card that they gave us at Entercom like 3 years ago.
I didn't get one.
Did you not?
I don't think so.
I'm pretty sure you did. I think we all got one, and it was like a $25. That was our bonus. That was our bonus at Entercom 3 years. Congratulations on a job well done. Buy something of no more than $25 in value at Fred Meyer. Merry Christmas from Entercom. But I finally spent it. I bought a pair of black Chuck Taylors and some other stuff. And she was checking it all out. And I got home and I realized that she had not bothered to take off or deactivate that thing that binds your shoes
together.
That was together.
When we were shooting the video.
It's when we were shooting the We're Back video, the YouTube thing in...
Oh, yeah, I remember that.
Whatever, in March, announcing the triumphant return of the show. Yeah. If you look really close, I don't think you can see, but in the video, I'm wearing shoes that still have the huge plastic... And, of course, in my head, I'm always afraid it's the kind that blows up if you tamper with it.
It was a scene that required us to walk down the street over and over again.
Totally. All right. We should break here.
Think Christopher McCallie is here.
She is. I just saw her walk by in the hallway, actually. All right. Take a break. We'll come back. Here's what's coming up. Jim Roop from Los Angeles. We'll take a couple phone calls. We have another campaign ad from Vernon Robinson. We got the top five. Later on, we have the Storm Watch. We return with more of Tim Riley. Stay there. It's the Rick Emerson Show on AM 970 Solid State Radio. It's the Rick Emerson Show live from Portland. It is Labor Day. Hey, we're coming by. Hello. I'm just kind of making. 503-733-2970.
You don't like the techno? I heard it's hip with the kids.
No, it's just... I'm just like way back here. 503-733-2970. You can also email if you like. It's rick@rickemerson.com. Back to Tim Riley at the City Desk in mere moments. Later on, we'll do the Storm Watch. Davey Neeples will be here as well. We've also got the...
I hate it when you say that.
It's Ren and Stimpy.
I know.
Sir, we're just trying to sell rubber nipples. I've had it up to here. That's
why it'll be here later than you can do your Ren and Stimpy.
Nah, I'm got to get in the groove. Call the police. Let's see. We got the Jim Roop we'll get to as well. And we have a new campaign ad from Vernon Robinson. Let's talk to our good friend Diana from Downton. How are you, sister? Are you work? You're not at work today, are you?
No. Because I work for the county, you know, I got the day off.
Oh, that's right.
You know, that contract thing and all that.
It's only law enforcement people who are listening today, yes.
Well, no, if I worked at the jail in the health department there, I'd be at work.
Scotty has typed in the screen that you have a wart observation.
Well, I think you're thinking of Compound W.
Compound W, that's totally what it was.
Which is salicylic acid.
Yes.
And the version they sell over the counter is what way watered down so you don't actually burn holes through your body.
But that's really what it does, right? It really just sort of burns warty goodness away.
Yeah, that's pretty much it. Now, on the highway patrol, you know what they do? It's actually kind of wise to behave yourself after you see one cop, because on I-5 going south, they tag team a lot.
Really?
Yeah.
Do the cops do this? Like, if you pass a cop at a speed trap, do they actually radio ahead to their pal who's down the road, like, yes, you want to be looking for a Sentra that's coming? I mean, do they do that? Do they sort of pass the information along?
I've observed it. Yeah. You know, because you'll see one guy... He'll spot the one cop who's kind of obvious, and then as soon as he gets clear, he'll rip on ahead. Next thing you know, he's over on the side.
All right. Thank you.
So it's what you suspected. They're in cahoots, and they're against you.
It really is. The man is aligned. All the forces are aligned against us. All right. Thank you, Diana.
Have a great day.
All right. There you go. Ladies and gentlemen, let's welcome now to the Rick Emerson Show, live from Los Angeles. The one and only Jim Roop joins us now on this Labor Day. Jim Roop!
Hey, boss.
What's up, brother?
It's beautiful, man. It's just Labor Day.
That's what I'm saying. You guys are all, I mean, you're there. Lisa Goddard is there. Gary Baumgarten's there. You got the news never rests.
No, got to make the meters bounce no matter what day it is, sir.
It's so true. This is the best thing about your, I'm looking at the little prep sheet here for you, and it actually says, I think Tyler must have written this, because it just sort of trails off in mid-sentence. It actually just says...
That's the way he holds conversations.
It's a symbolic end of summer, a day to gather with friends and celebrate, and a day off from dot, 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 and then it just it never really picks up again. It doesn't really say anything after that. So... But,
add a few words.
Are you just not talking to people who are working? Is that it? Have you, like,
yeah, you know,
going from one bagel hut to another? Or?
Well, that, and I dealt with all the immigration crap going on here today, but that was fun. The working for people who had to work today was, first of all, very easy. Is anything that delivers service, whether it's a fast food restaurant or a caddy at a golf course, there are a lot of people out there working. So it was nice to talk with people who had to work today and get their sense of what they think, and then, you know, going out to the immigration and worker pro-worker rallies that have been going on out here.
Here's my two things. A, it seems like the general feeling shared by most people who are working today is one of seething resentment.
Oh, and the biggest line I got from everybody,
yeah,
sucks working today.
Totally. And B, here's the thing that annoys me about a day like this. What bothers me is, with a bank, for example, it just annoys me that so many stores are closed on holidays like this one, because you got to figure, if it's the day that everybody has off, and therefore it's the day that everybody could be shopping or engaging in commerce, and so, of course, it's the day that everything decides to close early.
Yeah.
The whole thing is just completely, it's so counterintuitive. The whole thing just pisses me off.
Yeah, I'd be open today and be off tomorrow.
I mean, yeah, it's like, I mean, if I was a business, that's the day you got to be open. It's when everybody, nobody's, when nobody's at work, everybody's out and about and able to spend and whatever. So, hey, here's the fun fact, though. We just talked to Lisa Goddard a while back. She just got out of
training thing?
Totally, the combat camp.
Yeah.
She's all just covered in bruises and whatnot. So, at any time, is this a thing that, like, you could ever, is this sort of like the Marines where if Lisa Goddard and Bob Costantino and all those guys were exhausted, you're going to get the phone call from Laura Diesel telling you one day that you're going to be going over to Tel Aviv?
When I was heading down to San Diego back when I was doing the border and immigration thing,
right?
I got a call asking me if I wanted to go to the Middle East. This is when the war had just broken out.
Right.
And I said, yeah, are you kidding me? It's a reporter's dream to cover something like that.
Right.
So I called my wife and quickly realized that this is not something you discuss on the road somewhere.
No.
You need to be face-to-face.
Yeah.
Because she immediately turns on CNN, and the moron TV reporter saying, this is the worst place in the world you could ever be, the most dangerous place. And I'm going, oh, what a idiot.
And you know at that point the decision has been made.
So my wife just blows up. And so I called the hierarchy boss back, and I said, you know, if this cup can pass for me this one time, my marriage would stay intact.
So I'm going to recuse myself from this.
But I wanted so badly to go.
Really? Is it now? When was that? Was that?
Oh, this must have been a month, maybe two ago.
Really?
I would have been the first guy going to that combat training camp.
Because we talked to Nanette Souza, and she was over there, and
they sent when I said I couldn't, they sent Amanda and Nanette.
Yeah, I mean, Nanette was talking about, like, she was in a place where literally there were missiles landing 3 seconds away from her.
How cool.
It was equal parts kind of cool and terrifying.
Yeah.
Is what it was. And I mean, it is, yeah, I always say that, you know, CNN, they're no fools. They remember what made them famous, man. It's like, I do feel like there's probably just a little thrill of excitement that goes through all of Atlanta. Pulses over, starts to race all over the South every time there's any sort of unrest in the Middle East. Because, I mean, the shadow of all of that whole thing with Bernard Shaw and Peter Arnett, I mean, that's very clearly what kind of made you guys.
Yeah, I think so. You know, and trying to explain to people like your wife that, you know, I could be stabbed and shot at an immigration rally, for gosh sake, because I'm asking all the wrong questions.
Totally.
There.
Why don't you go home?
Yeah. You know, it's only about a two-hour drive south, man.
Get me a taco.
Yeah. Hey, Pepe, come over here. You know, but she doesn't get it. You know, I mean, she says, yeah, but, you know, there's not bombs flying in the air, so they might as well be.
Have you ever been, I mean, let me ask you this. So how long have you been working for CNN doing what you're doing?
6 years.
Have you ever been in danger? Your life ever been? Have you ever been?
Hurricanes are probably the worst danger I've ever been in.
So you've never been in some like a rally or the whatever with some guy.
I've been in riots. But
really?
I cover the LA riots working local radio here, and there was, you know, my car got shot.
Really? Got shot at or got shot?
Oh, it got had bullet holes in it.
Jesus God.
Yeah. Well, it wasn't my car. I was working for KNX.
It was a pool car.
Yeah, it was a pool car.
Yeah.
Those things are made of, those are Sherman tanks, man.
Did you realize that your car had been shot, or did you find out later?
Not until I got pulled over by a cop. Yeah. Said, what are you doing here? And I said, because I was at Florence and Normandy when that whole thing was
with Reginald Denny. And
I got the hell out of there because they started throwing rocks and stuff in my car. And I got out of there, and I jumped in a phone booth to make a phone call. And a cop says, you got to get out of here. And I said, well, because I didn't have a cell phone in those days.
Right.
And I said, you know, I wanted to call home and say, I'm okay. And he said, look at your car. And just three bullet holes in the back.
Jesus God.
To the car. I said, okay, I'm out of here right now.
The best part about that is the idea of when you're in the L.A. riots of a cop saying, what are you doing here? And clearly, the subtext there is, you, Whitey.
Yeah.
What?
Yeah, I'm going to tie.
What?
You know?
You find the thing that doesn't belong here. Jesus.
I'm looking for a restaurant, officer.
Yeah.
What the hell do you think I'm doing here?
Just trying to find a taping of The Price is Right.
Make a wrong turn.
All right, brother, man. Well, enjoy the rest of your quasi-holiday, kind of a laid-back day for you, and I'm sure we will be talking to you. So go grill some meat for all of us.
You know, I'm going to do that. I'm going to head home soon, and I got some tri-tip going.
Fantastic, my friend. All right, we will talk to you soon. Have a good one, brother.
All right.
All right, there you go, ladies and gentlemen. CNN radio correspondent Jim Roop in Los Angeles.
Sorry, that was interesting with gossiping about Rockstar.
That's okay. No, I was talking to Jim Roop, and Kristen from accounting is sort of lurking in the... is lurking in the studio with us today. Kristen, how are you?
Oh, you can't tell your music's playing.
Oh, that's right. You don't have your... this is like that day that Tim didn't have his headphones and he couldn't tell what you were doing.
Well, I thought Tim was coming back in. So
Tim will be back in a moment. How are you? How are things?
I'm well, thank you.
It's one of those days where we have, and I've been saying this all day, we have like 80 people who are going to be here, but we have one microphone. So it really is like it's really just an old time, it's like a Fibber McGee and Molly episode.
They can wrestle me for it.
Well, there you go. So everybody's going to kind of be gathered around the one. So you were just showing me, where's that picture of Storm from?
That's from the this weekend. Our friend Pasha is down in L.A. And
Pasha the crazy girl.
Don't call her crazy. She's very good friends with Storm, so you behave.
No, she's nice.
She's very
she
sweet.
She seemed very nice.
No, but Kristen, you have to say that one day when she couldn't remember how old her child was a little funny.
Pasha was the girl who called in. Just for people who weren't there. Pasha was the girl who called in because we were talking about Jerry Garcia being dead and what a glorious day it was. And Pasha was the girl who called in and started yelling at me about Jerry Garcia being dead and telling me that I had the date of Jerry Garcia's death wrong. And she was using as a benchmark the age of her child. And as the phone call developed, it turns out that it was, in fact, this girl, Pasha, who did not know how old her own child was. And everything had been predicated on that baseline, and it was all very wrong.
And you're calling us crazy?
And I'm the crazy one.
I'm not saying
she
crazy.
She
had
my face about it at Dante's, too. The last time I was at Dante's, she was there.
She's nice, I like her.
She's like, I do so know when my child was born.
Well, and you should be able to understand this, because it was one of those things where she called up, and not being familiar with speaking on the radio, she was not prepared for your razor-sharp wit.
For my questions like, how old is your son? Or daughter or whatever.
Daughter.
How old is your daughter? I was told there would be no math. Yeah.
But she's a good sport.
Yeah, it was a real
brain bender.
She was
down there today or this weekend and got some pictures of Storm.
Are those Storm's feet?
I believe they are.
Do you have a tattoo?
I wasn't sure. We'll have to ask Davey when he got here.
That looks a lot like a tattoo. Sarah, look at that.
No, I saw the tattoo picture. I didn't think she had a tattoo on her
foot. That might be Delana's foot.
Attention, foot enthusiasts.
Oh, I'm thinking it was Delana's foot.
We start a whole thread about worshiping Delana's feet now.
Oops, I just took a picture. I didn't mean to do that.
Do you ever put your camera in your pocket and like you get it out later and you've been sitting on the camera button for like an hour and you're just taking endless photos of your pocket lint?
No, but you know what I have done? Because this is a newer phone and it also does the video thing. And I pressed the video instead of the camera, and
it's looping for no reason, catching nothing. Here's what I have discovered this, actually. My phone, and I've got this Motorola Q, it's like a BlackBerry kind of a thing, and it has this this feature where to turn it to make a voice activated, you know, where all your commands are voice commands. And I don't understand why you would possibly want that. It seems like making your phone voice activated just leads to all kinds of Tom Likas topics.
Yeah, that whole just seems, that would be a lot of unpleasantness.
Seriously, but here's the weird thing about it is, I have discovered if I'm sitting at home in my home office typing on the keyboard, for whatever reason, the clackety-clack sound that my fingers make on the keyboard, somehow, is it just the right tone or the right frequency that it actually confuses my phone into thinking I am speaking? And if I have the phone sitting next to the keyboard and I start to type, it will turn on the voice activation function, which then just becomes like having a loaded gun around because you never know what you're going to say.
See, that's what I'm always afraid of, is that technology frightens me sometimes.
Yeah.
You know, because that could just end badly.
All right. Well, let's. Here's what's coming up. We got a storm watch coming up. Scotty, did we figure out what time the storm watch is? Have we heard back from storms people? I don't know what time storm is going to be. Okay. But sometime, presumably, because she. Okay. So sometime, I believe in the next hour, we'll be talking to Storm Large. Let's see, musical director for the Balls and Storm Significant Other. Davey will be here as well. Later on, we have Aaron Geek in the City, Duran, Clyde Lewis, and a cast of thousands plus more updates. Let's welcome, I think he's lurking back in the preparatory area. We'll welcome Tim Riley back to the news desk here in about 10 seconds, I say. Staring at the door.
Best show ever.
It really is the best show ever.
It is. That's what I'm saying.
It's this kind of free-flowing genius that makes this show stand apart from all the others. Ladies and gentlemen, let's rejoin Tim Riley, who's at the Ministry of Truth here, the AM 97, the News Hour.
Well, here we are again.
Hello, sir.
And the microphone's falling apart.
It's okay.
All right. Well, what are we doing to our friends from Canada? We're killing them.
Starting tomorrow, everyone run.
Two U.S. warplanes accidentally strafed their own forces in southern Afghanistan today, killing one Canadian soldier and seriously wounding five others.
Isn't that like the second time we bombed Canadians? Didn't that happen like a year and a half ago? There was some U.S. air pilot who was all jacked up on amphetamines and bombed a bunch of Canadians?
And you think they'd know that since they look just like us. So that's that.
They're crafty that way. The Japanese are very cunning.
Mm-hmm. Meanwhile, Afghanistan's opium harvest this year has reached its highest level since ever recorded, showing an increase of almost 50%.
Congratulations.
The figures are described as alarming since they try to wipe out the opium harvest. But that's all the people in Afghanistan do.
Seriously.
Until they wait for democracy to set in.
It'll be coming any day now. Just pack a lunch.
Meanwhile, I had something else. Oh, listen to this. This is also from Canada. I should have put it for the Canadian story. A potentially deadly situation was avoided when a Moose Jaw man called about a box that turned out to contain live grenades. The man called police to his home in the northeast quarter of Moose Jaw to have a look at a box that he received as an inheritance from his uncle who died. The box contained four hand grenades and dismantled missile or bomb or other military items. The explosive unit was called in and determined the articles were armed. If these articles have fallen into the wrong hands, it could have been disaster.
Fantastic. Let's see. We've got a couple of things here. What you said about nurses is absolutely true. My mother was also a nurse and never used a tweezers for sliver removal either. Rather, a needle, which has just been torched with a match. Exactly. Because you don't want it to be infected. And, and it's like you would totally get to see the preparation. Like, my mom would take out the big needle and then a cigarette lighter and, like, a lot of... And she would cook the needle and then just slowly walk toward you. Ostensibly, this was to sterilize the needle, but I believe it was more just to burn away the skin in the way of her quarry. By the way, I'm listening. This is the best show ever. There you go. That is from Elizabeth.
And as a child with that sliver, you said, maybe I shouldn't have brought this up. Perhaps I could have lived with this for a few more months and let it fall out all by itself.
There really is. Welcome to the lunch hour, kids. There really is some truth to that, by the way, because I think this was part of my mom's goal, actually, because my mom, being a person who works in the medical profession, my mom, because you think that if you work in the medical profession, you want to take advantage of that a lot, but really it's just the opposite. My mom was a nurse, and so my mom saw all of these people who would come to the emergency room just left for like a sniffle or like a bruise, you know, they would stub their toe and they would, my toe is broken, and they would come stumble in like a bunch of sissies. And so I think my mom was sort of trying to toughen me up. And so if I got like a big ass splinter in my hand, A, you know, she would not take me to the emergency room. B, she would dig it out at home with like a spoon and a gun and a whatever. But after a while, I would just sort of, it was exactly what you just said. I just wouldn't tell her. You know, what happened? Well, I would run my hand through some, you know, through a buzzsaw out back, and I would just scotch tape it together and keep it in my pocket for the next month so that nobody would know about it, which I think was her goal. I think her goal was just to get us to the point where we just sort of lived with it. We sort of played through the pain and didn't trouble the hospital with it.
The worst stuff out there, I don't even know if they have it anymore. There used to be this red stuff called Mercuricone.
Oh, yeah.
And that would hurt more than anything that could possibly happen to you.
What now?
It burn the skin off you.
Mercurochrome, I think is what it's called.
Maybe that's what it's called. But it was red stuff. And parents always had it to treat their kids' wounds with.
Now, that is one of those things that I hear referenced, but that I don't think I ever actually used.
Christopher McCounty is close to my age, so she will know.
The bottle.
And from New Hampshire.
No.
From the Middle East.
No, and the bottles were always, no matter how recent it was purchased, always looked like it was 50 years old.
It had
old.
A skeleton with the crossbones on the back of it. And this is about to be put on you.
Hold still. She's putting on rubber gloves, you know, and yes.
She's like,
and a mask.
Blow on it.
Parents have all kinds of remedies.
Yes.
That don't like. Did your mom keep a jar of Ipecac around?
No,
because my mom totally did. My mom and I did. Well, but you see, I had Ipecac, which I don't think was. I'm trying to think if I ever actually had to swallow that stuff. I don't think you all had Ipecac. I think you guys had castor oil. Did you have castor oil? That's one of those things you always hear referred to in the 1950s.
I didn't have castor oil, but I remember. A cough medicine that was made from cod. I told you about this. Who had a picture of a Catholic priest on it. It was called Father John's
John's Cod Help You Tonic.
Since I was the youngest, by the time I came along, my parents didn't care what happened to me, so...
They just figured they would toughen you up.
I was the oldest, so I was experimenting.
Yeah, so that's... See, when you're the oldest, that means that you are... You're their first baby, and so you are viewed as being very fragile. And so, you can tell this with Dennis and Brandy, by the way, because Dennis Pitzenbarger and his wife, and it's like every time the kid sniffles, every time the kid whatever, it's like they got to sit there with it, and it's like by the time, and I saw this with my own mom, it's like by the time you get to the third kid, you know, like unless the kid is bleeding from the eyes, and you know, unless green stuff is running out of its ears. You just, you know, whatever, just sponge it off and put it in the room and shut the door. As long as you can't hear the crying, it's like the crying doesn't matter. But my mom had this stuff, Ipecac, and Ipecac is the single, the whole purpose of Ipecac is to make you vomit. That's the thing. So it's like if you swallowed something foul, they give you that. But parents, and you're so right when you say that bottle of Mercurochrome always looked like it was from 1940. It always looked like it had been sitting there. And parents have all kinds of things. Robitussin is the same thing. It's always just some goo sitting in the back that they have to dig out. And there's always like strange vials and, you know, devices that you just don't want to see brought anywhere near your body. It's like that. What is that thing, that squeezy bulb thing that they put into your ear? Did you ever have that? Is that what it is? Is it to get the wax out or is it to like get the water out, like if you're in the bathtub or something?
It's to clean your ear.
Yeah, and that's no good. Anything that inserts inside to where your brain goes is no good. Here's Tim Riley.
Oh, did you hear about the new HD DVD? Toshiba has confirmed that it'll launch the first HD-DVD player on the 15th of November, but not here. It's going to be released in Europe first. When it does come here, it's going to cost as little as $499. So people are asking, what do we need this for? Let's see, it'll be released in December, the second one. Toshiba and Sony are backing rival formats, but people say the competition could depress the market for next-generation DVD equipment. HD DVD and Blu-ray players are already available in the U.S. and Japan.
I think it's really only there to make all of my crap, you know, outdated. It's really, just to make all my current DVDs obsolete. Rick, let's see, this is... here we have several emails about cops, which we'll get to in a second. Let's talk to Steve. Steve, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello, sir.
Rick, great show. Great to have you back on the air, my man.
Thank you. What's up?
Being a boomer who's jumped the shark, I remember, like Mr. Riley, back in the day, there were only two medicines you ever used. One was Mercurochrome, the other was Campofenique.
Campofenique, which is like, not unlike Vicks VapoRub, which, the effect of, yeah, but Vicks VapoRub, which... It's you put it. What is it? You put it in your chest or something, and it's to help you breathe.
And the neighbor can smell it like a block down the street.
Yeah, seriously.
Well, it had a variety of medicinal applications. One of which my memory may be fading, was actually for bug bites.
Vicks VapoRub, really?
No, no, can't pull for me.
Oh, okay. I was just going to say, because Vicks, here's... And I, because the thing about Vicks VapoRub, by the way, there's two things about that. A, it has a smell that is so powerful and distinct that I think to this day it would conjure up immediate memories for all of us.
Absolutely.
I mean, you catch one whiff of that. And secondly, I've talked before about my hick cousin, Patrick, who lived in Vancouver. And when I was a kid, Vancouver seemed like the big city. And then you grow up and you realize not so much. But because they were rednecks and not all that bright, when they took a break from chicken killing to get sick, their big thing was, Patrick was the kid where I came up here to visit him and I got the chicken pox and they like had to duct tape like tube socks onto his hands or something.
Well, I'll keep my eyes open. I just bought a house in Vantucky. Hey, great show, my man. Talk to you later.
Thank you, sir. That their whole method was whenever... And I don't think anybody ever bothered to tell them that this wasn't the correct way to do it. But whenever Patrick would have some sort of cold, my Aunt Patricia, her whole thing was just to, wait for it, just give him a big spoonful of Vicks VapoRub, which you're not supposed to eat under any, I mean, imagine, it's like swallowing mustard gas. I can't even fathom, I don't even know how you get it down. Like, I don't even really know how
you mix it with, like, ice cream?
No. I mean, that's like, it really is like swallowing a tablespoon of Vaseline. Because I think that's all it is, right? Isn't Vicks VapoRub just Vaseline with whatever, like camphor in it? Or whatever the hell that stuff is? Eucalyptus? Yeah. So there you go. By the way, this is the same cousin that, for a tasty treat around the house, used to just get a big stick of margarine and just dip it in sugar. He was a husky kid.
that's what most fast food is today.
Is it going better with some Vicks on it? Adam, you're on the Rick Emerson Show. Hello.
Hey, what's up, Rick?
Hey, how you doing?
Hey, I got two words for you.
Yes.
Bag balm.
What?
Bag balm.
Is that some
you guys
sort
ever
of
a... use bag balm?
I honestly don't even know what we're talking about.
No.
So who knows? Perhaps, what is bag balm, sir?
Bag balm? Never heard of bag balm. It came in a green tin, and it was a cure-all for everything. You got a...
Did your mom buy this off a wagon from a guy who looked like Jason Robards? Was he also selling xylophones and talking about P rhymes with a capital the D for darts and the...
I can tell you that it was made out of, like, horse hooves or something.
Anything made out of horse hooves is fantastic.
It was like a gelatinous... gooey jelly crap that it was.
This is the best phone call ever.
And it was used for everything.
But I mean, when you say it was used for everything, like for example,
well, cuts, abrasions, burns, scrapes.
Are you reading this off the label? Do you have some bag balm around?
No. That's how often we used it.
Scotty is noting on the screen. This is like when Leah Remini said the baby was regulation size. Scotty's noting humans use it for pain.
Exactly.
He's talking like Bishop from Aliens.
Exactly.
All right. Bag balm.
Bag balm.
All right.
It's up. It's there.
And it's made out of hooves, and it's good for everything.
It's good for everything.
All right. Thank you, sir. And he's done.
That's like Dr. Bonner's peppermint soap.
It really is like one of those things you see, like when you used to go to Wendy's, and Wendy's would have the table where the pattern was like old-timey magazines that they used this for, and you would sit there and read it, and it was like a whole lot of like patent medicines from 1920. You know, it's the secret ingredient is morphine, and that's all it was. So, all right. These are undoubtedly all people about bag balm. Let's do one more, and then we'll break, and we'll come back.
Hundreds of Paris Hilton albums have been tampered with in the latest attempt by guerrilla artist Banksy. Banksy has replaced Hilton's CD with his own remixes and given them titles such as Why Am I Famous? What Have I Done? And What Am I For? He also changed pictures to topless and with a dog's head. A spokesman for Banksy
hilarious.
Says he has doctored 500 copies of her debut album in 48 record stores across the UK. But he left the original barcode so people could buy the CD without realizing it had been interfered with.
Fantastic.
Apparently, he's notorious for his secretive and subversive stunts, such as sneaking doctored versions of classic paintings into major art galleries. His spokeswoman said he had tampered with the CDs and branches of HMB, and Virgin, as well as independent record stores. They also visited cities including Bristol, Brighton, Birmingham, Newcastle, Glasgow, and London.
Really, this is way more attention than anybody else has bothered to pay to Paris, Hilton's record, which I think has only sold, what, like 50,000 copies or something? Something 70, really, like, depressingly low.
74,000.
All right, well, here's we'll take a break. Still to come, we have a storm watch. I think storm, we found out at like 130, 140. Davey will be in here. Clyde will be here. We'll have more from Tim Riley at the City Desk later on throughout the show. Aaron Duran.
Lindsay Lohan's grocery list.
Yeah, Lindsay Lohan's grocery list. Kristen from accounting. We have all kinds of spoilers about Rockstar Supernova, which we will agonize over and then inevitably reveal. What else? Oh, the new Vernon Robinson campaign at Top 5 Week in Geek. Band-Aid, all of that. What do you mean it's originally for cow udders? Jesus. All right, we got more of these calls about the bag balm. Doesn't bag balm sound it would be... That's exactly what I'm saying. You know what I'm talking about.
I didn't even look up and I know what you're
you
talking
know, you know what she's doing. Yeah. Okay.
I know.
Thank you. No, I know where the, yeah, I know where it's
you
located.
You can stop gesturing now.
Thank you. Back after this, kids. It's the Rick Emerson Show live on Labor Day.